Marty would. I hope this thing worked, Bill. Yes, all right, good. All right, this has been the way it is from the very beginning. His law is to be interpreted. His law is to be applied based on a man's willingness to have a good and honest heart, which God and God alone will be the judge of. Now, what does that by nature sometimes mean about judgments that we might make? And us not being able to identify when we come to a different conclusion on something than somebody else? Does that in and of itself mean we have the right to declare a verdict? Always? No, it doesn't. No, we don't. We don't necessarily have that right. And we need to be very careful when we exercise that, as Aaron said, grave responsibility. Not privilege, but responsibility. All right? Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go over, and this is going to be a passage that you're all familiar with, and I want to talk to you about it. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10, listen, you remember this passage. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do all your labor and all your work, but on the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Now, what did that mean? It's pretty clear. You don't do any work. Scott? Well, was judgment ever passed on people who violated this law? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So judgment has to be made. I'm asking you, what defined work? Think about it. Where did God expound on this commandment to declare what they could and could not do?
It's like when they were picking their manna, they couldn't even do that on the Sabbath.
Okay. So, by virtue of the fact that there was no manna there on the Sabbath day, they knew no manna. God said they weren't going to be able to go up and pick manna. Okay, so that would be an example. Any others?
I don't remember where it's at now, but in somewhere in Leviticus, the exceptions were made. Did the ox fell in the ditch?
Okay, there were some exceptions made, all right, but Where's the list is what I'm asking for. There was not any list. This wasn't expounded on to what you could, what everything you could do on the Sabbath and everything you couldn't do on the Sabbath. Therefore, what did it require the Jews to do? Well, yeah, they had to do something. Yeah. They had to make judgments, didn't they? What was the basis of that judgment?
It would have been their motivation. I mean, if they were going out to pick up sticks to sell to their neighbors, that worked.
Okay. What about picking up sticks and not selling them to your neighbor?
Well, picking up sticks and making a fire and cooking supper. Should have done it on Friday.
You should have. So if you didn't, then you'd be working then, okay. And oh, how sure are you about that? Right. Yeah. So we're really not looking in the physics definition of work equals force times distance, are we? I mean, that's not what we're looking at, okay? We're not looking at a law like that. What we're looking at is a law that God expected his people to apply. Without what? Without detail. He didn't tell them everything they could do and not do. He didn't. There's not an exhaustive list. He expected them to have a what? first and foremost, go back to the chart. A humble, a contrite, an honest and pure heart, and apply, interpret, and apply that law. That's what he was expecting them to do. Go over to Numbers chapter 15. All right? Numbers chapter 15, 32 through 36. I went through those other points, but we had already talked about it. All right, turn over to Numbers chapter 15, and let's look. This is an example of a situation in which work was violated. But I want you to listen to the story and the nuances that maybe we don't just all of a sudden pick out. In Numbers chapter 15, begin in verse 32. Now, while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath. Good illustration, Brother Heaton. And those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And then they put him in custody or in jail because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And so the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded. What was the verdict on this? Guilty. Why was he guilty? Why was picking up sticks on the Sabbath considered working? He was?
He was out laboring and gathering. He wasn't relaxing and resting.
Okay. But relaxing and resting was never part of that commandment. I mean, look at Jesus. Why was he guilty of, why was picking up sticks a violation of the law?
There was no work. He placed something ahead of God.
Okay. And who made that? God did. Look at the congregation. They found him. What'd they do with him? They put him in custody. They didn't know what to do. There wasn't an explanation. There wasn't a thou shalt not pick up sticks on the Sabbath. But they didn't know whether he had violated or not the law. So they take him, they bring him to Moses and Aaron. What did Moses and Aaron do? What does Moses do? Does Moses declare the verdict? No. What does Moses do? He goes to God. Who declared that the gathering of sticks on the Sabbath day was a violation of God's law? God did. And how and why did he make that judgment? God knows. He didn't tell us. We don't know. He doesn't expound. All we know is that situation, that man, for some reason, we talked about guessing, about his heart. Yeah, there's where your problem is. Because we're going to go to Jesus as in the New Testament example where he does things on the Sabbath day and is accused of what? Violating the Sabbath law. But he's not guilty. And he does similar things. As to the man who picked up sticks. Isaac?
What did that
John? John. Yeah, that's right. I understand that resemblance and all. It's okay.
Do you know if we assume there's like something like 600,000 Jews marching around the world? I don't know how many, but my thought is, how come 599,000 got it right and one got it wrong? You know, it wasn't just a case of, well, let's all go out here and pick up sticks. And we're not sure if God said it. I mean, the people understood rest is rest. And the second point I want to make is this.
And where does that problem come from, though, Isaac?
But that's from a heart that is doing what it wants to do. It's not our heart.
That's exactly right. And that's the key, because look, God didn't declare what rest comprised of.
But he did say you must rest.
He did say, but what did he not do? He didn't say you have to lie vertical for 24 hours a day. That's resting, and when I rest, I'm sleeping.
But picking up sticks is not resting.
Well, okay. Is walking?
As long as they divide up to church,
understand, walking is not resting, all right? And how far you can walk, whether you can jog, all right, or fast walk. Look, the point is, and I think you were making the point at the beginning, is it comes down to a man's willingness to acknowledge that God has commanded, and his decisions, his judgments, must take that into account first and foremost. And he'll hold us all responsible for doing that. All right? He'll hold us responsible for making sure that he is the basis for our decisions. It would be easier to have a black and white list. He's not letting us do that, people. We're not made that way. We are made to have a choice. Whose will be served? Who is going to declare righteousness? That's what he holds us accountable for. And I think that's the point that you were making. Yes, you were making something.
Well, you also got to remember that God knew what that was on that man's heart to do. You know, why he was doing it. You know, he looked into the man's heart and knew what he was doing it for. He was
exactly
doing it to defy God.
Exactly.
God saw that. You know, you
exactly.
Don't, we don't know because we can't do that. But we have to trust that God looked into that man's heart and said he was doing it because that, you know, heck with you guys. I'm going to go do what I want because I got to make a fire.
Yeah, let me ask you, is it possible picking up sticks would not be a violation on the Sabbath?
Not
is it possible? I'm sorry?
Not based on that passage that we're talking about.
Okay.
I would say no.
Anything else? Eddie?
Well,
is this separate or on this question?
Separate.
Well, hold on 1 second. I'm coming back to you. I want to know, is it possible? Is it possible that someone could pick up a stick?
Yes.
It's possible. All right, we're going to go and we're going to look at Christ. Was harvesting grain considered work? Did Jesus and his apostles harvest grain? Yes, they did on the Sabbath. They did it how or why? Because they were hungry and to eat. All right, and we'll look at that specifically. But look, the harvesting of grain could be a violation of work on the Sabbath. The harvesting of grain could be acceptable on the Sabbath. Who makes that determination as to the righteousness of it? God does. And we are responsible. And what God wanted these Jews to do was to take that command and apply it. Make it right in their lives. Make it first. Make it the basis for what they did. And a heart that does that, does right. God doesn't ask anymore of us than that. He didn't ask us to be right 100% of the time on our judgments. He said, judge righteously with his will, his knowledge, his commands in mind first. All right? So these, once again, why did he have the right to make that judgment? Because going back to James, our text, he and he alone had the right to make that judgment on that man's guilt. The Israelite nation did not know. They didn't know what the verdict would be. Moses didn't know. The lawgiver, Moses, didn't know. God knew. And I think that's a powerful and important point. All right? All right. Now, the Pharisees, they're kind of like us, right? They don't like these gray areas. They wanted it what? Black and white. So, what did they write? The Jewish what? The Mishnah. What was the Mishnah? Hold on a second. You're gonna leave me somewhere else. I can just tell. Give me 1 second. What was the Mishnah? It was what?
Their interpretation.
It was the Pharisees' interpretation and application of what?
The law.
Of the law.
Traditions of the
elders. Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies.
And made
Okay, well, traditions, were the traditions wrong?
Not necessarily.
No. Well, did the mission of traditions violate God's law? Okay, so, okay, all right. So, we'll get to that part in just a minute. But the Mishnah in and of itself was a concept. It was a explanation that was designed to do what? Keep the Jews from what? Violating the law. That was the original intent. And for centuries, the traditions were written and recorded and applied to try to prevent people, the Jews, from violating the law of God. Now here's where it went. A tailor. I'm going to take five excerpts. A tailor cannot go out of his house on Friday with a needle on his person close to nightfall, lest he have that needle on his person and on the Sabbath day be guilty of work, of violation of the Sabbath. Because a tailor and a needle cannot be in possession of his tool. Alright? A scribe cannot go out with a pen on the Sabbath because it's a tool of his trade. And if he used it to write a letter to his mother, he would be guilty of work. Why? Because the Pharisees said the tool and use of the tool, regardless of the reason, was a violation of God's law. A teacher could not read on the Sabbath. She could watch her students read, so reading in and of itself was not a violation of work, but if a teacher read, it was a violation because she herself would maybe be guilty of preparing lessons. All right? All these are straight out of the text from the Jewish mission. If a house was on fire, a Jew could not tell a Gentile to put it out or to let it burn. He could not involve himself in the extinguishing of the fire. Because either way, it would be work. Some said a woman. Now, ladies, you'd really like this one, okay? Some said a woman could put on her makeup. But others of the Pharisees said she could only use makeup if she did not use an instrument or a tool to apply it. So what are these? What are these? What are all of these? Well, they're pretty extreme, you might say. But what was the intent? What were they? Yeah, they wanted everything determined ahead of time. So there is no what? There's no judgment. No judgment. Pharisees didn't want judgment. They wanted to declare it right and wrong. They wanted it made, and then they wanted it applied. The only problem with that is even though their intentions were good, what happened? All right, well, you may say they went too far. But if someone applied that makeup rule, if they believe that to be a violation of work on the Sabbath, is that wrong?
Took it out of people's hearts.
Hold on. Is that wrong? I'm asking, is that wrong? Okay, so to the one who is looking at this law, application to themselves is what? That's the responsibility that they have, for goodness sakes. We need, like, more. Okay? All right. So even though their intentions were good, all right, and even though it could be applied, if a woman had that belief, if she had that concept, can you think of a similar issue that has been an issue with modern-day Christians, with male and females in the assembly? The head covering, right? Okay, that's similar. So any of these could be applied to the individual. The judgment was the individual was the one responsible for making that judgment. Okay? So in Matthew 9, 11 through 13, turn over there with me. Matthew 9, 11 through 13. We're not going to have a chance to come close finishing this, but we can at least make several more points, and I think that they're important. Matthew 9, 11 through 13. Let me just read this for us right quick. Jesus is first introduced to the Pharisees, not really first introduced, but according to Matthew's account. All right? He comes into contact with the Pharisees. And when the Pharisees saw this, all right, This, of course, the context is Jesus has called Matthew, who was a tax collector, and he's dining with him. He's residing with him and the other tax collector. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax gatherers and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." What does Jesus emphasize here? Well, first of all, before what he emphasizes, what were the Jews trying to charge Jesus with being guilty of? Okay, back in Numbers, what kind of people did God say the nation of Israel was going to be? A holy nation. A nation that was separate and set apart and did not come into contact with that which was vile and ungodly. What is now the Jews, what are the Jews, the Pharisees, trying to then charge Jesus with? Associating with the unholy, the ungodly, those who were unrighteous. But Jesus tells them, and it goes back to Hosea chapter 6, and then David, of course, expounds on it in Psalms 51, but he goes back and he says, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice." What is Jesus teaching them? What's his point? Yes, he's going back. Where does compassion come from? The heart of man. The heart. God wants the heart of man. What Jesus was doing, was he associating with ungodly people? Absolutely he was. These were sinners, ungodly people. He did that throughout his entire ministry because he wanted to save them. He wanted to save mankind. And the point that Jesus is making, and he tells them, go and learn. Go and learn what this means. Did the Pharisees ever learn it? No. No, because over in Matthew chapter 12, he's back into the same boat. He does the same thing. Turn over there to Matthew 12, verses 1 through 7. I know I'm going fast, but we don't have a lot of time. This is when Jesus and his apostles are going through, and the apostles are hungry, so what do? They walk through a grain field and do what? I'm sorry? They begin collecting or harvesting grain for the purpose of eating. All right? So here they are traveling from someplace to someplace, and they're going through a grain field. So what did the Pharisees charge them with? With work, right? Was Jesus violating this? Was he violating the thou shalt not work on the Sabbath? No, he wasn't. All right? Why? They didn't harvest the whole field. No. Right. So how much harvesting could be done before work was declared? How much harvesting? Okay. All right. You see, there we are again. You know, there we are again. And the point is, that's my point, okay? He didn't declare. You couldn't go and pick grain if you were hungry and needed food. He didn't declare that. And Jesus understands what the law means, and he uses David as an illustration. What did David do? Did he break the law too? He did. He broke the law by going into the temple and doing what? Eating the bread that was sacred, set apart only for the use of the priest. Was he condemned for that? No, because David made a what? It starts with a J. A judgment, all right? He made a judgment. David knew the law. He knew he wasn't allowed to go in there, yet he wasn't condemned. Jesus knew the law, and he and his apostles gathered grain. The Jews, back in Deuteronomy, they weren't allowed to gather manna on the Sabbath, were they? That was a violation. Yet Jesus can gather grain on the Sabbath, and it's not. All right? So the point of this is, which we won't get to make, actually, because there are a couple of important illustrations we didn't get to. But the point of all this is that Jesus requires of us to take his law, to interpret it, to internalize it, and allow a humble and contrite heart. Why did he condemn the Jews and the Pharisees in chapter 23? Why? What does he call them? They wanted to be what? They wanted to be rabbis. They wanted to be father. They wanted to be leader. Those are the things he said that they were seeking. Why were they seeking those?
Because people looked up to them.
And it gave them what? Honor, power, prestige. Who was being served by that? They were, not God. So, understand, when we have to make judgments, it's not always going to be the same judgment that Mr. Ross makes. I may not always decide the same thing. But I tell you what I better do when I'm making that judgment, regardless of what it is. I better have a heart that recognizes making a declaration of what I must do in relationship to God's law is the most important thing I'll ever do. And I better do it humbly, with a heart that recognizes the importance of it. All right. We're going to ask Marty to clarify everything on Wednesday. All right. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your attention.